We have ignition sequence start.
Short distance, high impact.
5, 4, 3, 2, all engines running.
10 questions with Adam Zwar. Big names, great minds.
Make yourself a cup of tea.
Liftoff, we have liftoff.
Hello and welcome to 10 Questions. Today's guest is the Bondi hipster turned soulmate, Nick Boscia. Nick's entry into show business was via community radio and managing the singer-songwriter Lior. Then in 2008, he made the YouTube viral sensations Trent from Punchy, which is currently sitting on 9 million views, and Beached As, an animation featuring a Kiwi whale that gets beached, and that reached 10 million views. After that came the ubiquitous Bondi Hipsters with Christian and Connor Van Vuren and Soulmates. We'll talk about all that as the episode unfolds, but right now Nick's co-created and starring in the new Amazon sketch series, The Moth Effect, which is currently on the platform and earning great reviews. As usual, I started by asking Nick when he was most happy.
I've got to say, there was a recent situation where, at the end of 2019, I broke up with my long-term girlfriend, thinking that, she was not the right one, or I was chasing something else, or, you name it. And I'd always, for the 6 years that we were together, had half a foot in, half a foot out. And I kind of was in that kind of liminal space of relationship. Then I got hit like a flipping freight train one day where I was like, wait, I think maybe I'm the problem here, not her. And I had this moment where I was like a bit fucked up by it, actually, because, she was always so keen and I was kind of like, cool guy. And long story short, we got back together after about 3 months, more or less. She realized that she was stronger than she thought, and I realized I was a bit weaker than I thought in some ways. And when we got back together, just that feeling of I kind of pulled myself out of the lie that I could have 1,000 experiences with 1,000 people, but I could have in infinite amount with one. And in that moment, I was like, I had a really serene few months with her, just having more or less committed. And I don't necessarily think, people need to be in a monogamous relationship, but what that happiness and contentment feeling was that realization that I was operating on those fucking bullshit ideas. That kind of led me to more or less that really, really alkaline point. I was like, fuck, I might have grown up or something,
Wow, what a beautiful answer. That's great.
Really beautiful question, because I was just like, man, I would say I'm content.
God. Wow, that's great. I love it. I've got no further questions on that.
Okay.
question two, who would you like to apologize to and why?
Oh, I've got a couple of those. I think when I was a kid, I was a bit of a, can you swear in this podcast?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think I was a bit of a cunt. Like a non-violent, non-mean, yet still a bit of a cunt, if that makes sense. Like, I thought I was a nice guy. I was gregarious and friendly to strangers. But then I was a bit of a cunt at school, and there was this kid who was a friend of mine. And I would like to apologize to him, because in year 7 or 8, I was a kid at a private school, and needless to say, kind of fairly racist ideas were propagated and supported. And I was mean about his turban, and I'll never fucking forget it. And I want to apologize to him. We since had been friends, and so there was some kind of an energetic issue that was kind of healed. But in that moment, at the time, I was like, whatever, man, we're friends. I can say whatever the fuck I like.
Yeah.
But now I realize the gravity at that age, wearing a turban in a private boys' school when you're the only one at school. Maybe I've since learned about the significance of the Sikh religion and how fucking beautiful it is, really.
It's interesting. I think the notion of young men who have no kind of experience in the world being put into an elite private school, I don't think that's such a good idea in many ways, because they get ahead of themselves.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I just think at that time, you're kind of conditioned at a private boys' school to think that you are the best. Having been out of school, you are entitled because you are in a unique situation being at that school and blah, blah, blah. And it baked into that is obviously your identity, and part of that identity is us being kind of, you know, Milky Bar kids. And I had kind of friends of different nationalities, but I would have these fucking super, you know, racist ideas that I thought was so totally fine. And they were soon beaten out of me very, like, relatively young, fortunately. But nonetheless, yeah, it's very fortunately different fucking times. But I think there's a bit of work to be done to kind of make good on a few of those moments.
Are you still did you say that you're still friends with this guy, or?
Yeah, we're still friendly. We stayed friendly up until the end of school and stuff, and then life happened. Mm. And whenever we saw each other, it was very, very fond. I still think about that in my moments of like, man, I don't know. I think you might have been a bit of a dingling as a kid. And you know, and again, you get older and you get a bit more aware. And yeah, so I think, you know, on the back of this conversation, I might give him a call.
Nice one, mate. And question three is, what is your greatest regret?
Well, it's baked into kind of my early attempts at racism, I think. That would be a big regret of mine. And also, you know, a near regret, which isn't actually definitionally a regret because you didn't do it. But a near regret of mine was possibly, you know, leaving my ex, leaving my now current girlfriend at the time. And I was going to head to the States and kind of set up, and I just didn't for whatever reason. And that was one of my things that I think about that I would have regretted a huge amount.
With your previous job, so you came out of school. What did you study at uni?
I tried to do an arts degree, but I just didn't finish it. I think I did on and off about 9 months or something like that, and I was just not good.
But and then you went into management after that?
After that, I actually, what did I do? It was not long after that, actually, that I did go into management. I started working with Lior at the kind of final throes of my 21st year. So I traveled for a bit and I did odd jobs and laboring and stuff like that. And I was a concrete demolition laborer, and then worked with, I met Lior cause I was on, Bondi FM radio show, and I saw him play and I got him on my radio show, and he was fucking mind blowing musician and beautiful voice. And, we just struck up a friendship, and quite oddly, 6 months later, he sent me his, when handed me his demo for Autumn Flow and asked if I'd like to consider managing it. It's weird.
And that's how you got into it?
That's how I got into it. Yeah, yeah.
And so you were working as a labourer, and you were part of community radio.
Yeah.
You had your own community radio show.
Yeah, and that's right. Gotcha. And then through that, I met Lior. And in fact, I did a stint at a little ad agency for a little while called Maverick, which was actually quite good for me because it was my first creative thing that I'd done. So I left school not knowing what the fuck I was going to do. I genuinely had no vision, no nothing at all. And so, yeah, I was in my own, in very privileged way, like pretty fucking lost nonetheless. And from those few things kind of led me to working with Lior. And I thought it was a calling to work with the arts, you know.
Here we get to the part where Nick segues out of music management and into viral videos. First came Trent from Punchy, which is short for Punch Bowl, a suburb in Sydney's west. The conceit was that the filmmakers offered this kid, Trent, played by Nick, $20 to be interviewed on camera, and he lets loose about his best mate, how a lot of birds are after him, and his sex worker mum. Many people thought the video was real, and the view count went through the roof. Soon after that came Beached As, which had a similar viewership, but also sold 80,000 Beached As-themed T-shirts and counted the flight of the Concords as fans. Next, we learn about his partnership with Christian and Connor Van Vuren and the path that led him to the Moth Effect.
So I'd done, so after 4 or 5 years working with Lior, I started to make stuff. I had this, you know, urge to write and act and stuff like that, kind of more or less out of nowhere. And so I just started making stuff with my flatmate at the time, a guy called Anthony McFarlane. So he filmed me doing Trent. He edited Trent. He was the seagull in the Beached As thing. And so we did those things together and they did pretty well. And because of that, I kind of it was the early days of, YouTube and viral stuff. I did a few YouTube panels where I met Christian, and I was like, man, this fucking dude is smart. And because I, am relatively incompetent in so many ways, I kind of notice when people are good. So yeah, met him through that. And he had an idea of the hipsters. And then we just kind of built the world together after that. I've got to say, you're a part of that narrative, mate, because when I saw Wilfred, I was like, I think I want to do that.
Oh, that's nice.
And again, I don't want to blow too many smokes, but it was definitely one of the formative things that I saw, that and like Flight of the Conchords and Mighty Boosh. I was like, these things, they're just silly.
I'm glad to be a part of that lineup. But yeah, someone today, this guy who was 21 came up to me. He goes, oh, my dad used to love watching Wilfred and everything. I'm going, okay, so I'm getting the next generation now.
Fully. I'm kind of getting that as well, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you are. Yeah. It's like, it's good and bad. It's good and bad.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, my son really likes Trent now. Wow, that's a whole thing.
Question 4, what will you still need to do to feel you've lived a satisfactory life?
Learn more skills. Like real life skills, Adam. Don't you find in our world that we don't necessarily have our hands in the dirt a ton? And there are a lot of people, in fact, that do, a lot of highly practical, artistically capable human beings, maybe as a performer, writer, producer. Like, I don't know how to build. I don't know how to, I just don't know how to do stuff. My dad built our extension. My grandfather built his house. My great grandfather would, built their house and ran their property. It's like, I just want to be able to develop real life skills and grow food and collect water and do all this kind of like cliched, getting back to nature, rewilding stuff. But I definitely have that. My partner and I bought an exploded meth lab of a property a few hours out of Sydney. It's a shit show, mate. It's a fucking shit show. But nonetheless, like, I'm there laboring on the weekends and I'm learning stuff and,
just, a real man.
Oh, God, I wouldn't say that at all.
Question 5 is, who is the person who most influenced you?
I would say my dad is a relatively boring answer. So he passed away about 3 years ago. But, it's easy to kind of deify our parents as they go and stuff like that or not. But I certainly think back to what has some of the things that he used to say and do and his profound kindness throughout his life to his kids cannot be discounted. And it was so influential. Like, I remember I'd have arguments with mum or whatever. I was a cranky little kid and he'd just sit me down and talk calmly and say, well, how were you responsible for that? And I was like, what do you fucking mean? Mom was blown. Mom was blah, blah, blah. He's like, get it, but just talk to your role in that. Just let's talk to your role in that. I was just, at the time it drove me insane. But now I'm like, assuming a point of responsibility is like this fucking really important thing.
Yeah.
That he gave to me. And he also took us bushwalking as a young one. Like, I remember being on his back and him walking me through the bush and camping in the middle of the Blue Mountains and meeting kind of lone hikers who give us trout and stuff like that. And he gave me relation and took us into the desert when I was 13 or so. And just a few of these things. He kind of gave me a relationship with nature that could never be removed.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that.
What did he do?
He worked in the disability service. So he was a public servant for many moons in occupational health and stuff. But then for the last 22, 3 years of his career, he worked at a disability service in the Blue Mountains called Allura Industries as the general manager, and helped employ and educate people with, physical or mental disabilities or intellectual disabilities rather. And it was brilliant because he had me work on their flower farms and delivering flowers. And at the age of 15 and 16, I worked with these, people with Down syndrome that I hadn't had much experience before, and found that they were hilarious and intensely intelligent. And just, he just did those things and he didn't mean to. I don't think it wasn't his agenda to kind of aware me up and expose me to good stuff. He was just a good egg and I followed him around and I was lucky enough to be porous to him while he was around.
Yeah, for sure. When was the last time you cried and why?
Oh, my gosh. I think I actually, I'm not necessarily a big crier, and I had a pretty hard time crying at Dad's funeral and stuff like that just because I'm not necessarily good at that. But since, I don't know, since that and a few other things that happened, I find every now and then in nature, that's kind of where I metabolize, you know, some of the mourning and grief that I have for the old boy. So it was probably within, you know, about 6 months ago, I was kind of in the bush and just had a couple of tears kind of roll down out of part gratitude for being there, but also, grieving for a kind man that went 15 years too soon, you know?
You mentioned it before. Did he die 2 years ago or?
Yeah, 3 years ago now, sorry. It was a bit of a shock at the time. Like, he had Parkinson's, but he, you know, certainly like kind of won a bit of a lottery in terms of his Parkinson's because he was a bushwalker. So he had good muscle mass and didn't have hectic tremors and stuff, but he was kind of withering and calcifying. You kind of see that, that shrinking, but then he started kind of retaining water in his feet. And a few days later, we got a x-ray back that his body was riddled with cancer. And then 13 days later, he passed away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like kind of bad, obviously, but like good that it was not drawn out and he didn't have this 5-year, 10-year battle or whatever is, you know, some people have. And I guess that's just us and me trying to find the silver lining. But
do you have brothers and sisters?
I do, yeah. 2 older brothers and a younger sister.
Great. Question 7 is, what is your current state of mind?
It oscillates between like trepidation and focus. I'm healthily cynical about what's happening in the world at the moment. I think I kind of oscillate between understanding the change, being empathetic for the change, and then just being very, very skeptical about it. The idea of politics and even celebrity to an extent has been demystified, and I actually think they're generally fairly productive changes in our society. But because they're not real and they're unhealthy and they're a construct and they can distract the shit out of us. So I like that kind of cynicism in a sense. But yeah, that's focused and trepidatious.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
I don't know. Maybe being a good son, I think. Or, you know, so that in a familial sense, I'll say like a good son. I'll just say that. But then from a professional point of view, because I don't want to compare my profession to stuff as kind of as important as family, but professionally, kind of what I'm doing now, which is worked hard to be able to learn how to write when I'm not necessarily naturally a good writer or not naturally a particularly academic person at all. And I've really, really had to work at that. And I have, and I can see the skills in that kind of growing. So that professionally would be my greatest achievement.
Because you came from more of a performing background, did you? And went into writing from there?
Well, I developed the concept of trend, developed the concept of beached. And so it was in me to create these things. But to go from like creating 1 or 2 minute things based on explosive or nuanced little things between a couple of cartoon characters to writing a show is a slightly, you know, it's a different craft, as you know better than most. And so to do that, it takes a lot of labor as well as architecture, as well as art and artistry. And, you know, I didn't know that at the time, you know, as I was doing it, I was like, well, if I can do this, I can make a show. And the skill disparity was huge for me personally. And again, I'm not academic, you know, but I'm fortunate enough to kind of think just work with such good fucking people. Like with the Hipsters, I had the likes of Christian and then Connor, who were so competent and very actually quite academic and hilarious people. Similarly, Jazz, he's a very funny academic finisher of things, and I'm now more so that than I was, but I definitely have you know, lent on other people's brilliance.
Mate, you bring a lot to the table. Don't worry about that. It's a joy to watch you perform.
Just nervous energy. Just nervous.
Question 9 is, who would you want on your side in a battle and why?
This is a good question because you go for Braun here. There's a few ways you could approach it. Go for Braun or just go for like, okay, I know the guy. Guy called Gilly. He's a mate of mine. He's got giant calves and he's real naturally really strong. And he's a really good strategist. And he was a model for 15 years. So he's like cute as a button. But he's also brilliantly intelligent, really strategic, and kind of has my back. And so in a battle, we'd have quite a lot of fun. He'd be like, Nikki, what do you want to do? I'd be like, man, I think I want to run away. And he'd be like, done.
Gilly.
My mate, Gilly. How would you answer that question, Adam?
Well, it'd have to be a mix of people, you know. My wife Amanda for her intelligence and strategy, and I think my friend Sam Pang, he's the most charming guy I know. He would just defuse any situation. But if it got nasty, he did play under 19s for Collingwood, so he could probably handle himself.
He'd glass a motherfucker, wouldn't he? Just in, you know, if Nick P. You want someone who's like super friendly, gregarious, but has that switch that glassy
bang. I think I did say to him that I did say to him once when we were going to a pub or something, I said, there's going to be a guy there. He doesn't like me very much. So you might need to step in. He goes, sorry, it'll be fine.
Oh, that's so, so lovely. You would have felt really warm and supported in that moment.
I felt really supported, but at the same time, I didn't think he understood the gravity of the situation, but I think he absolutely did. And he knew he could handle it.
Wouldn't it be good to just be physically able enough to be fairly confident hand to hand? Like that would make you feel pretty good. I'd get smashed as well.
Yeah, me too. I've definitely in my school days lost more fights than I won.
Oh, I don't think I've ever won a fight. I've just got punched in the face and I'm like, I am good. Sorry.
I think I was winning once or twice when it got broken up.
Mm.
But whether or not I would have continued winning, another story.
Mate, there was a guy in my year, like at Knox. And so, again, I fancied myself as a bit of a tough guy early on in the piece because I spent a year at a public school and had a few scuffles there. And then I repeated year 7 at Knox. And I kind of just went there and I was like, made the decision. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a fucking tough guy now because I feel older than them and I've done this before. So it kind of worked in a sense for like a year. I'd kind of like shoulder check people and just be a bit of a hard ass. But then there was this guy called, I'll never forget him, Ben Healy, after a science class. I kind of shoulder checked him, would do something. This guy's tiny as well, like tiny, small bloke, like one of the smallest in 8 years. And he just absolutely had me. And he had me. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to ever do that again. Like his fight was successful. He had me. Yeah. So that was when I learned that I was useless in a combat. And I shouldn't kind of adopt that thing.
But you're an actor. You acted the tough guy really well.
I did.
You fooled them for a year.
100%. And in fact, what I did learn is that we are able to change ourselves. Because at the first high school that I went to, I had no clout whatsoever. I was kind of just a bit of a just a bit of a shit bastard. You know, no of no note whatsoever. Had a mouth on me, but that's pretty much about it. Just, but then when I went to Knox, I was like, you know, this is my identity now.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was really important because I did learn that you could change and that's fully stayed with me.
I'm impressed that you played a role for a year and you sold it.
Sold it, mate. I sold it. Fully sold it. And it kind of works. It works to an extent if you kind of believe stuff enough, don't you?
Yeah. Remember, you're a tough guy.
You're a tough guy. Here we go. Yeah.
The final question.
Yeah.
What would you like your last words to be?
See you later. Yeah. Yeah. I'll see you soon. It's not a goodbye. It's I'll see you soon. I'm quite the. I would consider myself very spiritual, but though non-religious.
Mm.
I feel like there is this meat suit that decays and the thing that animates it doesn't necessarily go away. I don't know what that looks or feels like, but I want to get to a point when I'm dying to be essentially inviting it, for lack of a better word. I want to ready myself for death.
Thank you so much for tuning into 10 Questions. We'd also like to thank all the guests that appear on the show. And if you have a minute, please subscribe via iTunes or your podcast app and leave us a rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me on Twitter at Adam Zwar. So until next time, thanks for joining us.